They're not even really ideas, just a series of bizarre rants.
Clinton saying Trump is temperamentally unfit for the Oval Office. Donald Trump fires back at a campaign rally. He says that Clinton's foreign policy is sad to watch.
It was a political speech. Had nothing to do with foreign policy.
Now as Texas continues dealing with heavy flooding, record-setting heat may cook the Southwest this weekend. National Weather Service issuing excessive heat warnings for Southeast California, Southern Nevada, and parts of Arizona from this morning to Sunday night. And the Navy reports that Blue Angels pilot is dead after his jet goes down in Tennessee. It happened yesterday near the town of Smyrna. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Prosecutors could announce a decision on charges in the Cincinnati Zoo gorilla incident today. Police launching the probe after a three-year-old boy falls into the gorilla enclosure on Saturday, prompting zookeepers to kill the animal. Investigators say they were focusing on the actions of the child's parents and not the safety of the zoo. A Japanese boy is found alive after being missing for a week. USA Radio's Tammy Rose has more.
A missing 7-year-old boy was found unharmed after searchers spent nearly a week combing dense forest on the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. He was discovered in a small building at a military exercise ground about 2.5 miles from the spot where he was left alone at the roadside for a short time by his parents for being naughty. His father apologized to the community for his excessive behavior and told his son he was sorry.
Boxing legend Muhammad Ali is in the hospital being treated for a respiratory issue. Ali says he's in fair condition at a hospital in Phoenix. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The State Department says Iran is the world's top state sponsor of terrorism and ISIS is the greatest threat globally. The department's annual report on worldwide terrorist activity also says there were close to 12,000 terrorist attacks in more than 90 countries in 2015. The report released yesterday saying Iran continued to be the top provider of financial support, training, and equipment to terrorist groups last year. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell stopped by Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries, and USA Radio's Jason Wirt has the details.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had some rather pointed words about the Senate Minority Leader when he appeared on Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries.
At the height of the Iraq war in the middle of the surge, he says the war is lost. Well, what kind of message is that? Yeah. To soldiers who are out there fighting for, in the field.
McConnell also said President Obama acts like a child behind closed doors, telling everyone basically how much smarter he thinks he is than they are. I'm Jason Wirt.
The flooding in Texas claims the lives of soldiers. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero has been following that story.
The number of soldiers killed when a transport vehicle flipped over in Texas floodwaters now stands at 5. Rescue teams are continuing to search for 4 soldiers still missing at Fort Hood. A soldier's tactical vehicle overturned at a low water crossing at a creek on the Central Texas Army base. 3 other soldiers are in stable condition at a hospital.
NASA says it appears an asteroid buzzed Arizona, a bright fireball lighting up the sky for a few seconds yesterday morning. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
It is 9:06, time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. We're at 64 degrees. It's still raining out there. 90% chance of precipitation. I can see the rain passing through. It's going to over to our east now. Today is Friday, TGIF, June 3rd, 2016. Showers mainly this morning. Highs in the mid-70s. South winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain, 100%. Mostly cloudy and a slight chance of showers in the evening. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the lower 60s. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 20%. Partly sunny and patchy fog in the morning tomorrow. And then it's a beautiful day for Community Day. Highs in the lower 80s. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Showers and thunderstorms likely on Sunday. Thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall. Humid with highs in the upper 70s. Chance of rain 70%. Monday the 6th, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny, highs in the 80s. Partly sunny, highs in the 80s on Tuesday the 7th, and mostly sunny, highs in the lower 70s on Wednesday. Always gets better in the week, doesn't it? Here's our temperatures around the area. 67 at the county complex, 63 over in Pittstown, 65 up in...
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
As our Secretary of Defense.
For retired General James Mattis to be Secretary of Defense, Congress would have to waive a federal law that says the defense chief can't have been on active military duty for 7 years prior to confirmation, and Mattis retired just 3 years ago. Hundreds of veterans may have been exposed to HIV and hepatitis at a Veterans Affairs facility in Wisconsin. Officials say 24 vets came forward yesterday to get tested. VA managers say a dentist reused equipment to treat hundreds of patients. 11 people now confirmed dead from those fires in Tennessee. This is USA Radio News.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Today's story, Big Jim and 3 pancakes for 89 cents.
I don't care what you call them, pancakes, flipjacks, flapcakes. The point is, at Burger King, you can get a stack of 3 of them for 89 cents. What kind of deal is this?
A great one? Fill up on 3 golden pancakes for 89 cents. This is not breakfast. This is a Burger King breakfast. Get 3 pancakes for 89 cents. Only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation varies.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
A top campaign official for Hillary Clinton accuses Donald Trump's campaign of encouraging racism to help him win the White House. That accusation comes yesterday at a Harvard event that recapped the presidential election. And Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway says today Clinton officials made the conversation personal.
Most of it was civil. It was a conversation about the mechanics and the messaging and the road to 270. But I do think some people are stuck in the permanent campaign and not really past the anger, grief, and denial stages and into the acceptance stages.
That's Conway speaking on Fox and Friends. An Oklahoma priest being recognized as a martyr by Pope Francis, the first martyr to be born in the U.S. Father Stanley Rother of the Oklahoma City Archdiocese was helping the poor in Guatemala when he was gunned down during the country's civil war in 1981. This clears the way for his beatification. Powered by WesternJournalism.com, this is USA Radio News.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu. But you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
A suspect's under arrest for the shooting death of former NFL player Joe McKnight in New Orleans, where police say McKnight was killed in an apparent road rage incident. The 28-year-old running back played four NFL seasons, three with the Jets after starring at USC. A Colorado doctor has been fired after calling First Lady Michelle Obama monkey face on Facebook. Dr. Michelle Herron, a pediatric anesthesiologist at Denver Health Medical Center, also a faculty member at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. Herron posted the insult after another Facebook user called Obama eloquent. Denver Health has barred her from seeing patients, and the medical school is firing her as well. Archaeologists are digging up a historic find in, of all places, downtown Los Angeles, as we hear from correspondent Jason Campadonia.
During construction for a new city rail line, workers found a 3-foot section of tusk fragments, as well as fragments of teeth from an ancient elephant. About 10 feet from the original find, scientists found a partial skull on Monday. The mastodon pieces are said to be around 10,000 years old and from the Ice Age. Officials say LA is one of the richest Ice Age fossil sites in North America. Experts believe workers may find more pieces before the rail project is finished. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
And Sports Illustrated has named LeBron James Sportsperson of the Year. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home sweet home.
And your weather forecast for the Huntington County area begins today with mostly sunny skies and a high near 52. Westerly winds between 6 and 11 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies and a low around 33. Westerly winds around 8 miles per hour. Saturday evening has temperatures going down to 30s, but the day will bring high temperatures of 47. Breezy with a northwesterly wind between 6 and 11 miles per hour, increasing to 15 to 20 miles per hour in the afternoon under partly sunny skies. Saturday night, partly cloudy skies and again with a low around 30 and northwesterly winds between 6 and 13 miles per hour. On Sunday, we have sunny skies and a high near 44. The northwesterly winds will be between 7 and 9 miles per hour. Sunday evening, a slight chance of rain showers after 2 a.m., mixing with snow after 5 a.m., mostly cloudy skies and a low around 32. And the chance of precipitation is 20%. Start your work week on Monday with partly sunny skies and a high near 48.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And good morning. You're listening to Hands Across Hunterdon. Hunterdon Helpline Show here every Friday morning between 10 and 11 on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio Station. I'm Susan Lax, Executive Director of Hunterdon Helpline and your host of the show. And I'm very happy to have Terry Newhard here today. He is the CEO and Executive Director of Norwest Cap. And certainly Norwest Cap, Terry, is one of those amazing foundation nonprofits in our area that does so much, not just for your own clients, but to support the clients of Helpline and so many other nonprofits in our area. And you have a broad spectrum of who you help and why you help. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Nice to have you here, obviously. We have so much to talk about with Norwest Cap, and I can't imagine that someone doesn't know about Norwest Cap out there, given all the different things you do with the food bank, the weatherization assistance program, the early head start here in Hunterdon County, child and family resources, even cancer education, and, of course, one of my favorites, the Career Life and Transition Center, because I'm on the Hunterdon County Advisory Council for that. But where did it all begin and why?
So where did it begin? It actually began 51 years ago. I was, for a little bit of history, some fun history, I think, literally on the plane ride back from Dallas after Kennedy had been shot, Lyndon Johnson was trying to figure out how he was going to be a good guy coming out of the starting block. And the Johnsons didn't like the Kennedys, and the Kennedys didn't like the Johnsons, but the Kennedys were working on this whole poverty issue. They're actually working with a 1950s study from the Ford Foundation about poverty in Black America. And, you know, there weren't many experts in poverty back then. Today, they'd probably come out of the woodwork. But so that was on the plane ride back. He was sitting with Jack Valente, who used to be the motion picture president, and Bill Moyers and some other folks. And they talked about this whole poverty thing. So that was November, January at the State of the Union. He declares a war on poverty and all the rhetoric that goes with that. And in April, he introduces the legislation, and in August, it passes. Nothing goes that quickly today, but back in the 60s.
We could only wish.
Yeah, could only wish. And so from that point forward, they created this thing called the Office of Economic Opportunity, OEO. It was actually a whole federal department, just like defense or transportation or education. And it had a whole kind of crazy history over the years. Johnson, you know, lost interest in community action. Because there were about 1,800 similar agencies set up across the country. And during the riots that were in Newark and Watts and those kind of areas, he felt that community action was responsible for them. And they weren't, but he felt that way. And so he wrote this one-sentence letter. My friend actually has this, close these sons of bitches down. And that was it. He wrote himself off, and then, you know, the next president came in, which was Nixon, and Nixon actually wanted to close it down, and he was actually at a point where he was ready to be impeached for some of the things he was doing with community action, but then Watergate broke, and that was much more interesting than what we do. And he had people like Christy Todd Whitman actually in there running the community action at a federal level. So I went through different presidents, and the big change was in 1981 when President Reagan came in. While he was governor of California, legal services groups and community action groups really kind of hounded his tail every day. He said, if I ever become president, the first thing I'm going to do is close down legal services and community action. He actually did a bold move. He had this thing called the Omnibus Reconciliation Act of 1981. It did close down this whole federal department. There are, you hear about block grants today. It was the first block grant, community services block grant. So for NorwestCAP in 1982, it actually affected us. We were getting about $1.5 million. That went down to $150,000. I had just started there. So I actually got laid off from a lot of other people. So, you know, went through different phases when Bill Clinton was in there, and then there was the contract with America in 1996 with Newt Gingrich and everybody. So we thought, oh, we're done, you know, when these guys came in. And actually, there was a group of us. I didn't actually go to the meeting, but there's actually a lobbying group that I was part of. And we went in and met with Newt Gingrich, and it was the only discretionary program that got an increase in 1996, which was kind of bizarre. So anyways, we've been a lot of different things. As I said, there were 1,800 agencies at one time. Now there's about 1,000 across the country. In New Jersey, there's still about 24 or 25. We started out in Warren, Hunterdon, and Sussex, and we started in 1965. Somewhere around 1985, we expanded into Morris County and into Somerset County with our services. And today, we do some services in Passaic. So we have about 25, 26 locations in...
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, want to hear about the weather? Guess not, especially if you're one of those people who waited a bit too long to put up outside decorations, and it is nippy out there today. And we're not going to be in for good weather this weekend if, in fact, the forecast is correct. I'm Pat Smith. Sorry I'm running a little late today because of the weather, but the program, it's a law. I'll start right after telling you about the weather. Tonight, it starts out with a slight chance of snow, and then there's about an 80% chance. So most of us should be getting snow tonight. Then into Saturday, it's a wintry mix of snow and sleet, and then rain is likely because the high is going to be about 39 or 40 degrees tomorrow. So that means once it gets above freezing, we'll get that rain rather than snow. By Saturday night, we should have a 20, maybe 30 to 60% chance of showers, and then, of course, patchy fog. Again, low of about 39 degrees, so if it gets colder, it'll be snow. On Sunday, they're predicting 80% chance of heavy rain, high up around 54 degrees, so it's going to be warm but wet. By Monday, it's mostly sunny but cold. So we're not getting the freezing temperatures or getting out in the Midwest, I should say below zero temperatures, but it is nippy out there and cold out there. So I'm Pat Smits, and let me just tell you two of our sponsors, and then I'll be back and talk about what's happening in legal news.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Okay, we're back. I'm Pat Smith. Those of you who know me know I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County. I limit my practice to family matters, divorce, custody, premarital agreements, cohabitation agreements, anything dealing with family law, including domestic violence, which unfortunately at this time of year, everybody needs to be careful that their friends and acquaintances are not in an abusive situation. And certainly the abuse on college campuses and even among high school students is really challenging and concerning. So keep an eye out there. And today, so what do we have in the news? Not lots of things. I mean, one of the things that those of us who appear in the courts are really concerned about is the, and at least the legislature seems to be understanding that we're going to be inundated because of the new additional workload that judges are expecting once the state's new bail system takes effect next year. And the legislators are fast-tracking legislation that would add 20 additional Superior Court judges to handle that additional workload. And if they don't have many more judges, we're really going to have a shutdown in the other courts. And they're already moving judges. I know there's one judge that I'm in the middle of a trial, and they're moving this judge to criminal, or just, in fact, have moved the judge to criminal. How we're going to finish our trial, I'm not sure. But apparently there's going to be a new judge assigned. So this is going to have a huge impact on everyone, not just the criminal docket. But I'll have someone in early next year to talk about this new bail system as it takes effect. So there are a celebrity poker player and his partner, gambling partner, were ordered to pay $10.1 million to the Borgata Casino for 4 days of Baccarat games in which they won $9 million by identifying playing cards by tiny manufacturing defects. So this is Phil Ivey and his gambling partner, and they are now going to have to return that money to the Borgata. So interesting, obviously not an interesting case for Phil Ivey, but Borgata is certainly whatever they had to pay their attorneys to get this settled or finished, they're going to come out ahead. The U.S. Chamber Litigation Center, which is the litigating arm of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, is apparently focusing on where, in fact, to institute suits. Don't have anything else on that, but there may be something in the future. So the approved for publications, as I said, those are the cases that are precedent, and we have one which was a actually criminal law and family law case because it had to do with DCP&P. And in this case, the defendant appealed from a trial court's finding that she abused or neglected her 2-year-old daughter. There is a statute, of course, NJSA 9:6-8.21 paren CN paren, and that was what she was found guilty under that, or in violation, I should say, not guilty. In violation of that statute. So the trial court found that because she permitted drug use and drug dealing in the home where she and her daughter lived, and that she took no steps to mitigate her daughter's exposure to this conduct, that her conduct was reckless and put her child at substantial risk of harm. Now, apparently no witnesses testified at the fact-finding hearing. There has to be, in these cases, a fact-finding hearing. And that's because the parties agreed to forego the presentation of witnesses and to have the trial court decide the material facts in dispute. Now, there were material facts in dispute, but they agreed to have the trial judge decide those based solely on redacted copies of a police report detailing the events leading up to and occurring on the date of the drug raid, and also in investigation summaries prepared by DCPMP, that's the Division of Child Protection and Permanency. Now, the appellate court said that since a determination of abuse and neglect requires a fact-sensitive analysis of particularized evidence, the appellate division held that witness testimony was necessary to provide the court with the necessary facts to determine whether the defendant exercised the requisite minimum degree of care under the circumstances. In other words, the appellate division said that just because everybody stipulated, the court still had to have that hearing. And the appellate court said that merely reciting information found in documentary evidence, and that's redacted documentary evidence, does not constitute fact-finding. And the court said that this is especially so where there are unresolved and disputed details regarding the facts of consequence to the determination of abuse or neglect finding. So here, although the parties acquiesced to a trial, what we call on the papers, the court would have been better equipped to perform its role as fact finder had these matters been developed more fully with evidence at a testimonial hearing. So that is, they overrule the trial judge. And in fact, they're often, the appellate courts will overrule a trial court if the trial court has not conducted a plenary hearing. In other words, a hearing where there's testimony and then the judge finds and makes findings of fact and conclusions of law. So that was the only published case today. There were a few other cases of substance this week. And, in fact, there was one bankruptcy court, although it was not published. This was in the U.S. District Court in New Jersey. And in this case, Mr. Hartman appealed from a bankruptcy court ordered that was entered in an adversary proceeding. In other words, there was an adversary proceeding, and the bankruptcy court dismissed his complaint upon resolving a motion to dismiss in favor of Wells Bank. Now, in the adversary proceeding, Hartman challenged the validity of Wells Fargo's claim against the property at issue based on the New Jersey statute of limitation grounds. So, in other words, there are statute of limitations where if someone doesn't act within the time, they're foreclosed from acting. So in this case, the defendant contended, or Mr. Hartman, he wasn't really the defendant, contended that Wells Fargo accelerated the mortgage loan, and therefore the six-year statute of limitations for foreclosure bars Wells Fargo from completing a foreclosure action. Now, the bankruptcy court disagreed and rejected the contention that the maturity date of the mortgage was changed to October of 2008, which was the date Wells Fargo issued the acceleration notice that declared the full amount of the loan due. Now here, the court said the relevant promissory note has a maturity date of October 2035, and a default occurred in October of 2008, and Wells Fargo issued a notice of intention to foreclose, therefore declaring default and accelerating the payments due for the outstanding debt. And so the court found that contrary to Mr. Hartman's contention, the statute does not contemplate that the maturity date can be shortened by such a demand for payment. The court declined to construe the extension exception, which there is one, which contemplates that a maturity date can be extended by a written instrument as meaning that Wells Fargo notice shortened the maturity date. Therefore, the court affirmed the bankruptcy court's order in relevant part, and the bankruptcy court had also dismissed the claim for negligent misrepresentation. The court ordered the parties to show cause on the issue of jurisdiction over the appeal concerning that claim. So that is basically bank wins, person fighting bank loses. Now, there was another case not published, Family Trial Court, and this is Judge Jones, who has really been prolific in writing opinions. And in this case, the plaintiff sued for divorce on grounds of irreconcilable differences. Now, that's it's a very easy way to actually get a divorce if you proceed correctly. And the plaintiff paid the court fee and also paid a separate fee for the process server. Now, in this case, the defendant failed to timely respond, and plaintiff requested an entry of default. Now, subsequently, the parties submitted a request for dismissal, as they had mutually decided to attempt a reconciliation. So then the court granted their joint request and dismissed their divorce litigation. However, several months later, the plaintiff filed a motion advising that the reconciliation efforts were unsuccessful and asked the court to reinstate the previously dismissed divorce complaint. So now what the judge ruled is that pursuant to a certain court rule, a party seeking to proceed with a divorce following a prior dismissal of the pleadings must file an affidavit stating the reasons for the delay. The relations of the parties towards each other since the commencement of the action and any agreements or understandings between them. So in addition, the court treating the dismissal as similar to a dismissal for lack of prosecution. In other words, if someone files a complaint and doesn't do anything, it would be dismissed for lack of prosecution. So in this case, Judge Jones held that despite more than 90 days passing since dismissal, the case can be reinstated under rule inquiry into exceptional circumstances. And in this case, the court found that one such exceptional circumstance existed in that the prior case was dismissed relatively recently and for the express reason as the party's voluntary attempt to save the marriage. The court, therefore, Judge Jones in this instance held that the policy of encouraging mutual efforts at attempted reconciliation was important enough to reinstate the matter. And accordingly, the case was reinstated, with the defendant being provided with additional time to answer the complaint. So he dealt with it in a very practical way, and I think that's sometimes lacking, and it really, shouldn't be, because, it doesn't make any sense to make people jump through hoops. But that's me. Now I'm going to take just a short break to let you know about some of our sponsors, and then I'll be right back.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back. I'm not going to do the news or a news break right now. We'll do the news right before the next, at the end of the hour. But, well, how would you like to be married for 14 months and have received a $2.25 million post-divorce complaint job bonus and then have to share it in equitable distribution? Well, that's what happened in this case. It was a New Jersey Supreme Court case, so obviously people had money to fight it because it was a big amount of money. And the case is, I'm not sure the pronunciation, Thieme versus Thieme, T-H-I-E-M-E versus Thieme. And this was approved for publication on January 12th. Now, in New Jersey, there is a statute that upon a divorce, there is an equitable distribution of property, you know, real property, personal property. And the distribution is property that's acquired during the marriage. And sometimes this can be a little fuzzy because, for example, if someone gets a bonus in, let's say they get their bonus in February of 2017 and the complaint was filed in January of 2017, does that mean that the bonus is not subject to equitable distribution because it was received after the complaint? In most cases, that would be the answer. However, the courts will look at when the bonus was earned. In other words, if it was a bonus for 2016 and people were married throughout 2016, then that would be subject to equitable distribution. So in this case, what happened is the court found that the statute authorizes the equitable distribution of his closing bonus, but only to the extent that the compensation was earned during the party's marriage, because under the statute, the property to be divided is that which was earned or otherwise acquired during a marriage or civil union. So, however, the court held that the extraordinary circumstances of this case warrant the imposition of a constructive trust as a remedy for the wife's claim of unjust enrichment and that and her claim that she's entitled to a percentage of the portion of the closing bonus earned during the party's cohabitation. So, not unlike a lot of other cases, the parties cohabited before they were married. So although the marriage was only 14 months, they may have actually lived together for years. And I have not read the case yet, so I'm not sure what this situation is. But obviously, not planning too well if someone knew they were going to get that kind of a bonus and still stayed married, if they didn't want to be married, that is. So, and what's also obvious here is they wouldn't have this fight if they'd had a premarital agreement. And people will say to me, well, you know, if we sign a premarital agreement, it seems too much like a business venture, not a marriage. I agree that young people, in fact, I don't like to do premarital agreements for young people, meaning that this is a first marriage and no one is coming in to the marriage with a business, for example. You know, why? It's everybody should put everything in the common pot. Because what the person who has money or assets needs to do is they can unilaterally make sure that they have all the information necessary to prove that their separate property will continue to be separate property 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now. So that's what's important. is to be able to trace something back to status when it was premarital. But this is obviously an interesting case. Somebody's going to be paying something because I'm sure there will be some settlement. And when you get a $2.25 million bonus, I guess people aren't going to feel very sorry for you. Now, three former supervisors in the corporate investigation division of the legal department of Prudential Insurance Company have filed a lawsuit in a state court in New Jersey against Prudential and Deborah Bello, the insured's chief regulatory officer. And they were alleging that a life insurance program called for the creation of a certain thing and by Prudential and Wells Fargo. And they both had a number of similarities as how Wells Fargo had opened fraudulent bank accounts. So it's the blurb is kind of a mess. If you have any interest, I'd be willing to, help you get the information that you need. Now, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, which is our circuit, ruled Monday that a plaintiff in a failure to promote suit under the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act need not prove he was objectively qualified for the position and sought, he was seeking a position, but he didn't have to prove he was objectively qualified for that position in order to have a cause of action. So, football, dear to my heart, Supreme Court rejected the NFL settlement challenge. That means that the U.S. Supreme Court has blocked efforts by a group of retired professional players to challenge the National Football League's $11 billion settlement over concussion-related litigation. So, the efforts to pare back the Justice Against the Sponsors of Terrorism Act, this term has fallen short. So what else is happening here? Well, let's take a short break and hear from some of the people that are bringing this program to you.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, I'm not sure the next case I'm going to tell you about is good news or bad news. What the Supreme Court ruled is that a rescue squad volunteer can't be charged with official misconduct. So now that was charged. He was charged with stealing and misappropriating squad funds. And now they ruled that that is not official misconduct. Now let's give you, I'll give you a little more information about the case. It was State versus Morrison is the caption on it if you're interested. It was the opinion was written by Justice Alvin. So the Supreme Court found that a municipality's contracting for emergency medical services through a private nonprofit first aid squad does not convert the EMTs into public servants. Because they are not exercising authority of a uniquely governmental nature, nor are they performing a function exclusive to government in a traditional sense. So this is regardless of whether there are one or more nonprofit providers of publicly funded emergency services or official misconduct. So, what happened here is that they contracted with the government, but that did not convert the EMTs into public servants because they are not exercising authority, as I said, of a uniquely governmental nature, nor are they performing a function exclusive to government in any traditional sense. So, regardless of whether there are one or more nonprofit providers of publicly funded emergency medical services, it doesn't make any difference. Morrison did not commit the offense of official misconduct. And then the court affirmed the judgment of the appellate division and remands the case for proceedings on the four remaining counts. So, in other words, So there was another case a proof for publication had to do with motor vehicles, and that is criminal law and motor vehicles. And the defendant was convicted after a trial in municipal court, and again on appeal to the law division. And what he was convicted of is the question is what happened, and it said the based both on physical interference and independently unlawful act. That's what the standard is.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
So again, in this motor vehicle case, the defendant was convicted after trial in municipal court. And that's where, for example, speeding tickets, DUIs, that's where all of those cases are tried first. And then he filed an appeal to the law division. Now, what happens is the appeal from municipal court goes to what we call the lowest level of courts in Superior Court, meaning that they're Superior Court judges. They've been approved. They've been vetted by the courts. And they may or may not be sitting with robes on. So,
don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, and we will get to the news in a minute, but I do want to finalize, I got cut off telling you about this motor vehicle case because it could be significant to some people, hopefully not, but in any event, he was convicted after trial in the municipal court, filed an appeal, and he appealed to the law division of the Superior Court, which is the way it was done. And the offense was obstruction based on both physical interference and an independently lawful act. This is under statute, of course. It has to be statutory. And the court remanded for findings that might illuminate the judge's conclusory determination that the defendant was physically interfered and was interfering with a state officer, because that was certainly the issue. So what's going to happen is it's going to go back, and because the statute is, the court said he could not be convicted of obstruction by means of an independently unlawful act based on the statute, because that provides that drivers of vehicles shall at all times comply with any direction of a member of a police department when the official is stated at the embarkment. Anyway, the drivers of vehicles shall at all times comply with any direction of a member of a police department when the officer is in the course of enforcing a provision of this chapter, meaning this statute. So defendant was outside his vehicle and therefore not a driver. And the trooper was not enforcing Chapter 39 because he didn't have to, and his only issue. So that, and therefore the trooper, if he was not enforcing that chapter, he was only issuing a parking ticket. So that's, sometimes it pays to fight. In this case, it certainly did. So we'll, we're going to go to the news.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
As I was preparing to take office, the unemployment rate was on its way to 10%. Today it's at 4.6%, the lowest in nearly a decade.
President Obama began his final press conference of the year by touting what he considered economic victories of his administration. He also spoke about what he called the Russian hacking of elections.
Part of the goal here was to make sure that we did not do the work of the leakers for them by raising more and more questions about the integrity of the election right before the election was taking place. At a time, by the way, when the president-elect himself was raising questions about the integrity of the election.
Secretary of State John Kerry is continuing his verbal assaults on Russia today and their killing of civilians in Aleppo, Syria.
The last thing anybody wants to see, and the world will be watching, is that that small area turns into another Srebrenica.
More news online at usaradio.com.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Washing Machine.
Hi, it's Washing Machine. It's about, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So, good news, bad news. First, I found your lost sock. Exciting! Also, I might have maybe flooded the whole basement. It's going to be pretty expensive. But hey,